B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
All right, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's actually kind of a half-truth as Chris is sitting this one out today. And frankly, I don't blame him, as it's only an hour show this morning. We have a Celtics matinee game against the Atlanta Hawks coming up at 12:30 with the pregame at noon. A game that, I'm going to be honest, when I saw on the schedule a few weeks back, I said to myself, nice, the kid gets to sleep in on a Saturday. Someone's going to get the day off. But no, here I am. Saw the schedule, I was like, oh, we're working, huh? Okay. But ever the professional, I'm here, ready to dance and shake my change jar for you, the people. Someone asked me on Twitter last night if I'd try to pull off what I attempted the last time. I had to schlep in here for a token one-hour shift, and that's 60 takes in 60 minutes. I will tell you right off the top that no, I will not try to make that happen again. It's a nearly impossible feat. If I remember correctly, I got to like 32 takes or so in that time frame. Will I try to do it again? Yeah, maybe someday, but today's not that day. No, instead, what I would like to do over the next 50 minutes or so is to unpack some random things from my head, some left over from the week, like just what the hell the Patriots are doing in free agency so far, what the proper punishment should be for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill should he be found to be the one responsible for breaking his three-year-old son's arm, this guy, my God, into whether or not St. Patrick's Day is a properly rated holiday. I have thoughts. Basically, it's going to be a buffet of topics. And if you'd like to chime in at any point over the next 54 minutes, have at it, 617-779-0985. But first, I'd actually like to begin with something I know I was not alone in watching last night. That is really because there was nothing else on in terms of local sports. And that is Duke defeating North Carolina in the ACC tournament semifinals. And specifically, the much-hyped Zion Williamson of Duke. And if you've listened to Felger and Maz with any regularity since I have joined that show, when it gets to this time of year, you will no doubt remember that I mostly don't give a rat's ass about the tournament at all. I don't do brackets. I barely, if ever, gamble on sports. It's just not my thing. College hoops really isn't my thing. I typically really only tune in, and I do watch it, but I typically only tune in for one reason, and that's the sports schadenfreude, the pain of others, to drink in the literal tears of the crying fans and the team band members. And to root against whatever the hell it is that most people are rooting for. That's why I watch the tournament. Especially if it has to do with blind provincialism. Oh, you gotta root for Vermont, Jim. You gotta root for Vermont. They're part of New England. Do I? Oh, I gotta. I hate I gotta in any form of life. Especially when it comes to sports. Get the hell out of here. I don't gotta do anything. I didn't go to that school. And their maple syrup, while delicious, wildly overpriced. So I'm not gonna root for Vermont. I only tune in to root against them. That's why I watch the tournament, so that I can drink in the loss and have my cheap laughs. But all that said, last night, I think I found a team I'm actually going to pull for March Madness this time around. And it makes my skin crawl to even think it and to say it out loud. It's the Duke Blue Devils. Ugh. It is. It's a team that, much like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the LA Lakers, that I have spent my entire life hating. But such is the magnetic, jaw-dropping power of one Zion Williamson. If you watched last night, or even if you watched a few nights back for his return against Syracuse, another team that can forever and always burn in hell, by the way, you know that the hype, as annoying as it can be, especially if you watch ESPN, it's real and it's warranted. If you watched this last night, the kid's a monster. Like, anything that you hear about him, if you just, like, you tune into ESPN, like, all right, enough with Zion Williamson. I've just watched the clips. If you watch that game in its entirety, like I did last night, he's the real deal. Finishes with 31 points, 11 boards. He's the first player to finish with a 25-10 line in consecutive ACC tournament games since Tim Duncan. Was he good? Yeah. Yeah, he did it 22 years ago, and now this kid did it in the last couple of games. This game last night, the steal leads to that dunk. It's the turning point in the game. last shot that goes in, he grabs his own rebound. It's the difference in the final score. His work on both ends of the floor in that game last night, dominant, and the reason Duke won. And it's why I found myself laying on my couch like a slob, covered in crumbs, and I tweeted this too at the time. I think this kid actually made me like Duke. I was rooting for Duke last night. I had nothing else going on, came in from dinner with the lady. I was like, I'll put this on. I was transfixed. And I know I wasn't alone because, you know, based on social media last night, like a lot of people were too, if you watched this game, I'm actually going to pull for Duke in the tournament. I can't believe it. Up is down. Down is up. It's cats and dogs living together. I'm going to pull for Duke. It feels gross, but last night sealed the deal because of Zion Williamson. And someone was far more eloquent than I can be. It's not hard to do. But former ESPN host Ryan Russillo, he tweeted last night, "There's never been a Duke player as well liked by non-Duke fans as Zion." Yep, there it is. He nailed it. And I don't know if he's going to be a solid pro. Nobody knows. You know, I tweet this thing last night that I found myself pulling for Duke. I'm now at least a temporary Duke fan because of Zion Williamson. He's got to suck in the pros, Murray. He sucks. He's overrated. Blah, blah, blah. ESPN makes too much. Fine. Who the hell knows if he's going to end up being a solid pro, even just an okay pro in the NBA? Who's his comparison? I don't know. If you want to call about that, have at it. People want to say LeBron. People want to say Blake Griffin. People want to say Sean Kemp. To me, if you do want to have that conversation, considering the size, the power, the handles, the passing, the touch, the athleticism of a kid that size, I'd say Larry Johnson. If you're an old like me and you remember him, you know, Grandmama, you know, if you remember those commercials from the early 90s, I think he's kind of like a Larry Johnson comp who ended up a pretty solid bro. But, I don't know, that's kind of an argument for another time. Based on last night, all I know is this. For now, the kid's a stud. He's the reason to tune into the tournament outside of the Schadenfreude thing or the gambling aspect of it. He's the reason I'm pulling for Duke. And it makes me so dirty to say that. It feels so gross. Like, I wanted to shower last night. It's just one of those things, like, you want to cry in the shower. Like, oh, my God, what have I done? But, no, he's that good. And he's that electrifying. Like I said, we'll be all over the place today. You want to weigh in on this, have at it. 617-779-0985. What are the Patriots doing in free agency? I didn't like it earlier in the week. I didn't like it midweek. I still don't feel all that great about it now. Am I going to grade it a D or an F? No, because based on some of the things that they did last year, they have made some improvements. I still try to wrap my head around the fact that that team last year won the Super Bowl, considering I called it a lost season after the back-to-back losses to Miami and Pittsburgh. I sat here filling in with Felger and Maz at the time, me and Adam Jones. After that, I said, no, lost season. They typically go to Pittsburgh. It felt like it was an up-and-down season for the Steelers at that time. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs. They end up winning the Super Bowl. I still can't wrap my head around how the hell they even did it because I thought they kind of sucked last year. But here we are. They made some changes to some areas where they needed improvement, specifically against the run defense with this penal monster that they brought in from the New York Jets. He ends up sticking. And it looks like, based on PFF grades, like he was good against the run. So it looks like they're trying to address that area because they were getting gashed time and again against the run last year. So I like that. And their kick coverage sucked last year when it came to special teams. So they bring in Brandon Bolden. They bring in this safety who really never played defense for the Jets last year. So they're trying to address some areas where there were holes in last year's team. Glaring holes, really. So I like that. So I can't grade it a D or an F for me. But what are they doing at wide receiver? This is where I liked what they've done with the offensive line the last couple of years. The Sony Michel pick, the time I liked it, first few weeks of the season, felt like a bust. Thankfully, I have egg on my face with that. That was warranted. Sony Michel, he's a player. I liked that it was kind of run first for the Patriots offensively last year, but you still need to be able to set up the play action. You need to have someone else outside of Julian Edelman and Philip Dorsett, who I'm glad is back on a one-year deal. But you still need another number two who can win one-on-one coverage on the outside. They don't have that. Instead, they bring in Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris, who, if you do want to, I referenced the PFF grades, Pro Football Focus, that they had for a Pennell, this Jets defensive lineman that they bring in. If you look at that, I mean, he's sure-handed, not really fast, so maybe he sticks. I don't know really what a slow guy is going to be able to do in this Patriots offense if he's coming out of the slot, but still, maybe Harris sticks. You still need someone else. I had convinced myself, stupidly, that Golden Tate would be that fit. He goes to the New York Giants, which I can't figure out what the hell that team is doing. I didn't really expect them to trade for an Odell Beckham Jr. I don't really even expect them to trade for, say, A.J. Green if Cincinnati is making him available. Maybe even Julio Jones with the Atlanta Falcons. I heard Bert Breer on yesterday with Tutcher and Rich saying that that could maybe be a possibility, that at least the Falcons would have him on the trading block. I don't know. There's obviously a lot of time between now and when the season starts, and maybe other guys get cut. But as of right now, I don't like what the Patriots have done in the offseason and free agency when it specifically comes to wide receiver. It's Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, Braxton Berrios, who people want to convince me would be a player here, but he got injured and ended up on IR last year. Maybe, you know, maybe he's the second coming of Edelman and Welker combined. I don't know. But in terms of guys that were available, like Golden Tate would have been a perfect fit. Now Jordy Nelson has been cut by the Oakland Raiders. He ended up actually having a pretty decent year last year, what was a down, terrible year for the Raiders. Derek Carr looks like he's going the other way. He had close to 800 yards, 3 touchdowns. Okay, you can get him on cheap money. I'd feel happier about it. But as of this Saturday morning, I don't really feel great about it at all. But it's not a D or an F. No, I'd say about a C minus. All right, so we're off and running. It's a Gasperless Gasper and Murray. You want to join the show, like I said, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Coming up, why I think the Celtics comeback win over the Sacramento Kings on Thursday night was far more important than anything you saw last week on the West Coast, including the win over Golden State. I'll explain why next. I mean, Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What? I've heard it all, man. Like, Utah, and, you know, Phoenix, and California, whatever you were, however you want to go. Like, fans are going to be passionate about their teams, but that's just taking it too far. And then on top of it, in Utah, the fans are right on top of you. So their fans are, like, literally in the bleachers. Like, it's sitting right next to you on your bench. And, you know, I don't really mind the fan interaction, but not while I'm at work and you're trying to get me to go, because let me come to your office and yell in your ear like that. You know, that's the same thing I value. It's just a respect thing of the game and people's profession.
People don't actually think Metallica sang this first, right? Thin Lizzy did it first. And the time allotted today, it's Irish music that doesn't suck. My last name, Murray, that's the Irish side of it. Hi, Dad. It being St. Patrick's Day weekend and all. Gasperless Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. That was Kyrie Irving talking about that blowhard puke of a fan in Utah who got banned for yelling racist comments to Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder earlier this week. And good, by the way. I'm glad that guy got banned. If I had it my way, tased and banned. Tased. Thrown out, then banned forever. That should really, to me, that should happen to anybody that does anything like that with that kind of commentary. Or really, anyone that actually tries to make themselves part of a show. Stand-up comedy routines, you're that kind of fan at any kind of a sporting event. You want to boo? Boo. I love to boo, boo, hiss. You suck. Say you suck. That's fine. You know, I don't think the guys are that thin-skinned. If they are, screw them. But don't make it personal, and don't get racist of all things. So good. I'm glad that puke got banned. But what about what Russell Westbrook said about the guy's wife? Okay, yeah. That was in bad taste. Not great, obviously. Kind of a bad look, but I know myself. Hell, I've done it on these airwaves and then had to apologize. Sometimes you black out, you get way too hot, you say terrible things. It's like William Money at the end of Unforgiven. I'll kill you and I'll kill your whole entire family. Paraphrasing, but you get the gist if you saw the movie. It's one of the great lines in that movie. I'll come back and kill every single one of you. You and your family. I'll burn your damn houses down. When you're hot, you're hot. Things happen. You say things you sometimes don't mean. You end up having to apologize for it later. But that guy, good. I'm glad he got banned. Celtics. They're in action about an hour from now against the electrifying Trae Young, who, if you've been paying attention, you could maybe even make a case for NBA Rookie of the Year over Luka Doncic. But be that as it may. As they get this game this afternoon, their win over the Kings the other night on Thursday night, to me, I got more out of that than I did any of the three wins, including the one in Sacramento against the Kings on that West Coast road trip last week. The much-talked-about group therapy session, the flight out to California, I was under the impression that might have been overhyped. But after the win Thursday, there might be something to it. It made me feel better about this team going forward, at least maybe them making a deep playoff run, which I had resigned myself weeks ago to say, no, No, they're not going to get out of the second round. But I don't know. After that win Thursday night, they're down 17 early. And then specifically in the third quarter, they're up one. And then in what feels like just a matter of minutes, the Kings go up by 13. Buddy Hield is raining three after three after three after three. De'Aaron Fox goes coast to coast. And then finally, Brad Stevens calls a timeout in what felt, you know, 5 minutes too late. And I was salty at the time. I was like, okay, here we go again. It's just one of these typical third quarters. They're going to let this thing go away. They're a bunch of frauds. I was ready to call them frauds again for like the 13th time this season. But they took that punch to the face. And they go on a 13-2 run. You get three straight three-pointers from Jaylen Brown, who was ridiculous and has been. 22 points off the bench for him. They retake the lead. And Brown completely turns the game around. And they never really look back. It got close at times in the fourth, but that was really the turning point of that game. Brown was awesome, especially late. Gordon Hayward was awesome in the fourth quarter. Same for Kyrie Irving, who has a triple-double in that game, even though he took 28 shots. But they took a punch to the face by that scrappy Sacramento Kings team that's been, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, and they didn't fold. And how many times during the season so far, in a situation like that, would you see this Celtics team just get put over a barrel? Like, ugh. But they didn't. They showed real resiliency. They showed real balls. So I thought it was encouraging. Like I said, I think you can take a hell of a lot more out of that win on Thursday than anything you saw last week, including the game against Golden State, where they didn't show up. And Brad Stevens even said, I think I might have been with Zoe and Beadle earlier in the week, like, we didn't get Golden State's best game. You think? To you at 617-779-0985. Like I said, it's kind of a hodgepodge of commentary here today until noon as we lead into the Celtics and Atlanta Hawks at 1230. Let's go to Frank the Tank. First up here on a Saturday morning. Hey, Frank, how's things?
Rocco, by yourself today?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. Look, if I could just add something to the Utah fan. After being tased, I would say someone should have kicked him in the nuts, put gum in his hair, and given him a wedgie on the way out as well. I mean, it's just, say what you want, but, you know, be disrespectful, but be respectful at the same time. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, there's a line. We all know what the line is. Again, you can say you suck, you boo. Like, one of the things I remember as a young sports fan, my dad took me to, it wasn't even the Red Sox playing. But we took a trip because we were trying to see, like, you know, like a lot of dads do. You want to see all the baseball stadiums? He took me to Sky Dome when it opened in the late 80s. And I hated George Bell at the time for whatever reason. I think it was the Afro thing. I just didn't like George Bell. And I yelled at George Bell as he's, you know, jogging out to left field. And he gave me, I just was like, yeah, you suck, Bell. And he gave me a glare that I remember to this day. And it was a good lesson. I learned my lesson then. Like, you know what? There's a line. And please know that these athletes can hear you. So be, you know, you can boo and say whatever, but just be somewhat respectful, too. Like, don't get personal. If you want to say they suck, but just know that a guy can hear you and give you a glare, and you learn, like, oh, okay, I have to rein it in here.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're talking to a guy that's a veteran of being kicked out of two Bruins Wives Carnivals in a row before I learned my lesson.
Right.
but, look, real quick on the Patriots, I'm disappointed like you are. I was expecting a little more fireworks, but, you know, it's not over yet. There's still time to do some stuff, so I'm hoping, I'm keeping the faith that Belichick will do something. Look, my real point today is about the issue with Hill. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I know the dude or know his situation, and I want to wait for all the evidence to come out before I'm going to condemn somebody. But these athletes these days, and I know it's a question that no one can really answer, but all the social media stuff, all the attention, everything that they get, the money that they make, you would think that these guys would, you know, try to keep their heads out of their asses and not do anything like this. It still puzzles me to this day that athletes with all this attention, you know, I understand, you know, they're all human beings and I get it, but my God, I mean, are the athletes of this day dumber than what they used to be?
I don't know about that, Frank. I feel like there's certain cases where guys, maybe it's dumber, but they just can't control their impulses. Like Tyreek Hill, obviously, to me, has some sort of an issue with women and violence. Now, he has a history of domestic violence. It's mostly been overlooked because he's, you know, arguably the top three, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Even I find him a joy to watch. But comes off as a bad dude. And if you don't know the story, the Kansas City Star yesterday was reporting that Tyreek Hill is involved in an incident in which his three-year-old son ended up with a broken arm. Now, whether or not he was actually involved in this, that's up in the air because Tyreek Hill's name is not listed on the police incident report relating to the injury. But it happened at his address. His fiance named in the report. And he has an issue of domestic violence with her when he ended up getting kicked out of college 4 or 5 years ago. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm a bad guy to like read this and say, oh, yeah, no, he was involved. He did it. And if it's found that Tyreek Hill did it, he should be banned from the league, not just cut. Now, the Kansas City Star, their editorial board, is already calling for the Chiefs to release him, much like they did with Kareem Hunt last year when the videotape came up of Hill knocking that girl around at the hotel. And his punishment came down from the league yesterday. Just 8 games. Shocker. 8 games as he's now with the Cleveland Browns. But they did the right thing last year and quickly severing ties with him. With Hill, I mean, what's it going to take here? You know, okay, he's not named in the incident report. To me, just in my quick reading of this thing from yesterday and today, it feels like, okay, the fiance, she's named in the report, so is she falling on the sword for him? That's what it kind of feels like to me, so that he can skate, not be released, and still have a career in the NFL. But I'll tell you, and I know I'm not alone in thinking this, if he is found to have anything to do with this, which I think he did, again, it's a three-year-old that ends up with a broken arm. It's repulsive. He shouldn't just be cut. He should be banned from the NFL. Like, an example has to be set with this guy. I don't care about the talent. He should be banned from the league and never play again. You break a three-year-old's arm, are you kidding me? It's disgusting. Mike O'Brien is here to give you the Sports Hub headlines. Like I said, we'll be all over the place today. If you want to weigh in on the Patriots free agency, I'm not going to grade it a D or an F. They have made some improvements. They had to shore up that run defense, which they've seemingly did, bringing in this big fatty from the New York Jets to add him to the defensive line. Like that. Seems like they're shoring up their kick coverage because that was atrocious last year, even though they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And ultimately, anything you bitch about with this team doesn't seem to matter anyway. But that I like. What they've done at wide receiver, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. So you want to weigh in on that, 617-779-0985. We'll get more of your calls. And is St. Patrick's Day overrated, underrated, properly rated? I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. After the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike O'Brien, it's a Gasperless Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
I remember how I swore that I'd come back to you one day. And as the sunset kind of made the evening on a hill, I told you I'd always love you, I always did, I always will. Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say. But say it's you, the eyes as blue as the woods are in the bay. Took big chin toward a man of war who was up and heard the say. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
Jimmy McNulty, Natural Police, a Gasperless Gasper Murray, 98.5 the Sports Hub. Mike O'Brien to my left here, who's on the Hub headlines, thoroughly enjoying that.
Thank you.
As I would think you'd be want to do, what with that last name of yours?
Just a little bit, yeah. It's our people's weekend.
Right. Well, it's real Irish music, Mike, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend. Real Irish music, unlike the Dropkicks, who I loathe. I know, it's all subjective, but that's my personal thing. Nice guys. Met a few of them before. I just find their music putrid. Frankly, I'd rather listen to baby cows get slaughtered for veal. But St. Patrick's Day, as a holiday, a drinking event, you would probably think, if you've heard me on Felger and Maz or follow me on Twitter, you'd probably think I hate it, considering that, I got a penchant for hating a lot of things and hating them passionately. You'd think I hate it, right? Wrong. No, St. Patrick's Day, again, last name Murray, half Irish, half Italian. I think St. Patrick's Day, you could even go so far as to say underrated. I know it's made a lot about St. Patrick's Day around here, but with the large Irish community, but it's underrated. It's great. It is. It's one of the marquee holidays that lives up to the hype that I still love. It's St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving, and 4th of July. That's it. All the other holidays, you can have them, especially New Year's Eve, my birthday, the most overrated of all the holidays. It sucks. But St. Patrick's Day, it's one of the good time party holidays that always lives up to the hype. It's one of the ones that's still worth giving a damn about. Don't you dare talk trash about corned beef and cabbage. That meal is tremendous. A fresh Guinness, when it's poured properly, I had two last night. Oh, it's the best. Love St. Patrick's Day. So there you go. It's actually underrated. Properly rated or underrated, one or the other. But it's not overhyped. It's great. So go out, be festive, enjoy yourself this weekend. And it starts with the matinee game. Actually, with the doubleheader at the Garden today. As my voice cracks. It's the Celtics and Hawks coming up right around 12:30. Pregame at noon. And then the Bruins and Blue Jackets tonight. So, slancha to you and yours. Let's go to Cam in Taunton. Like I said, it's kind of been a smorgasbord of topics today, so whatever you'd like to really discuss as I unpack a week's worth of nonsense and other things. Like Zion Williamson, who made me a Duke fan last night. Yes, as someone who, now, while I like St. Patrick's Day, typically don't give a rat's ass about the tournament, but Zion Williamson over the last couple of nights, his performance against Syracuse coming back, and then last night against Tar Heels, I'm now a Duke fan. That's a sentence I never thought I would say in my life, but because of Zion, I am. That's who I'm pulling for in the tournament. Your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Cam in Taunton, hi.
How's it going, Jim? Just want to make a quick statement to the baseball names before I make my point. ESPN just released their top 100 ranking of the most popular athletes in the world. One baseball player, Bryce Harper, ranked 99th, and they were esports athletes ahead of him. So just, yeah. Nothing's wrong with your sport. Everything's fine. Everyone loves baseball. Don't change a thing. God. Okay. Report came out late this week, that the Pelicans are done dealing with the Lakers. They are not going to talk to them. They're done negotiating with them, and they will not talk to them this summer. That is massive news for the Celtics. Now they've given you leverage. I've said for weeks, I think there's a way they can get Davis without giving up Tatum, because I think the league has told the Lakers, told the Pelicans, you can't send him to the Lakers. That's going to look way too much like player-on-player tampering after Davis joined Clutch Sports. I don't know how this is anything but good news for the Celtics, and I think it's a great thing for them if they maybe get Davis, get him in here for a year, because I would do. I think it's the only way they're keeping Kyrie is to get Davis here. We'll see if that works. We'll see if Davis stays. But it's great news for the Celtics that the Pelicans aren't going to deal with the Lakers. That's great news.
Thanks for the call, Cam. Maybe that's for now. I still feel like because of the relationship it was with Clutch Sports and the agent that Davis now has, that's also LeBron's agent and his guy, like, I just tend to think that there's still going to be the fast lane for Davis to end up with the LA Lakers. But who knows? It feels like that whole thing certainly fell apart, and the Pelicans were purposely screwing with the Lakers to kind of gut that team internally, which they were successful in doing right around the trade deadline. But if he ends up here, I still think that it's worth doing. One of the things I agree with Cam there, one of the reasons you're going to be able to keep Kyrie Irving if he wants to stay, it's a deep playoff run and then getting Anthony Davis. I'm just taking a look at what he was just referencing, though, this ESPN World Fame 100, which they just posted. Some of the names that you would expect here in the top five, number one is Cristiano Ronaldo. Fine. Again, this is worldwide, not just U.S., so there you're going to have a lot of soccer players. Number two, LeBron James, Lionel Messi, Neymar from Brazil. Number four, Conor McGregor at number five. And then you have cricket players. Again, let's not try to be a closed-minded American idiot here, Jim. This is worldwide. But yeah, esports players ahead of Major League Baseball players, which I can't really be all that surprised at either. To me, that sport feels like it's dying by the day. The Red Sox spring training and everything surrounding that team thus far, and I know people may be still riding the high from them winning the World Series last year. Empty bee's nest. No buzz whatsoever. None. Jaguar? Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
How's it going, Murray?
Hello.
Quick question. What's your opinion on something? The whole rumors of Kaepernick going to the Dolphins. I'll let you guys hang up.
Thanks, Jaguar. Yes, I saw this yesterday from Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports that and we've heard this for a while now. Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't played in seasons, plural, been working out, would like to join the Miami Dolphins. I'm sure the money would have to be right for him. I don't know what he would be able to bring to the table at this point. But then again, you still have bums like Mark Sanchez landing with teams like he did with the Redskins last year. Give it a shot. Why not? I just like the chaos of it all. I'm all for making the likes of Big Fat Kurt Schilling and red-faced Law and Order dads mad. So to bring Colin Kaepernick back in the NFL just for that reason alone, sure, I'm for it. Howard and Randolph on how the Patriots have handled free agency thus far, wide receiver. Hi, Howard. Howard, hello.
How you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Do you prefer Jim or Murray?
Say again?
You prefer to be called Jim or Murray?
Either or, sir.
All right, Jim, how's that?
Good, thank you.
I was just talking about the wide receiver issue with the Patriots. I understand people wanted to get Humphreys or Golden Tate, but I have a problem with the players themselves. I mean, they were still negotiating with Humphreys between Tennessee and the Pats. Why would he choose to go to a team with Mariota, who's always injured, as opposed to coming to see the work with Brady? And the same with Golden Tate. I mean, he went to the team with Eli Manning's on his last year, probably, and he had a chance to come with Brady, and they were still negotiating. I don't know why these players chose those teams.
Oh, Howard, in terms of a winning standpoint, I couldn't agree with you more, especially when Golden Tate, whose podcast did he do about a month ago where he was saying, you know, he was talking high about the Patriots and Tom Brady. I think he called him Tommy Boy. It sounded like, you know, one of the things he wanted to do in free agency was land with a team that gave him the best chance to win. He ends up with the New York Giants, who feels like they're going one way or they're trying to tank, but then again, they're not. When they add a player like this, they trade away old Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I don't understand what the hell the Giants are doing. That's a conversation for WFAN and Mike Francesa or whatever. But in terms of the Patriots, yeah, no. In terms of the winning with Humphreys, Mariota, or Ryan Tannehill, who feels like he's going to end up, you know, because Mariota's fragile, he'll end up starting there. So you want to go there? All right. You know, they were better last year, but that's where you want to go? When Tate wants to go to the Giants? Like, that makes absolutely no sense. No, it comes down to the money. That's about the money. And Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, go there. He's written extensively about the Patriots' cap situation and why they've, you know, done what they've done or lack thereof in free agency thus far. To me, it feels like they weren't able to front load the contract the way that they were in Tennessee and with the New York Giants to give them guaranteed money. This is what it pains me. Like, you were in on him. You were in. There was real interest. There was definitely real interest. Adam Humphreys himself at his press conference in Tennessee, his introductory press conference, talked about, yes, no, he had already made the handshake deal, and credit to him for being the last honest man in America and sticking with that deal. The Patriots were in. According to some reports, they offered as high as $10 million per year, but nope, made the deal. That's it. He's sticking to it. It just feels like the Patriots were either A, too late, or B, they just couldn't front load the contract and give guaranteed money. It sucks, because right now you end up with Maurice Harris and Bruce Ellington. Again, it's not a D or an F if I had to grade it for how the Patriots have handled free agency thus far. Again, they've shored up some areas where there was a need. Run defense, kick coverage, but wide receiver, man, that cupboard is bare. Hate it. Richie in North Quincy, you're next here on a Gasperless Gasper Murray. Hey. Hi, Richie.
Hey, Big Jim, how are you? Love the show. I listen every Saturday, and if there was a Big Jim Murray show from 2 to 6, I'd listen to that, too, during the week.
Hey, thanks.
Question, boiled dinner, I'm a big fan, being Irish myself. Smoked shoulder, red corned beef, or gray corned beef?
I didn't really know that there was a difference. Could you explain a little bit further?
Yeah, well, gray corned beef is more known as a beef brisket, a gray corned beef.
Okay.
A lot of times in Irish pubs, you'll get that as opposed to red corned beef. And if you ever cook one, the key is you boil it, then simmer it, and then you always cut it against the grain of the steak, of the brisket, to make it tender. You definitely try it. It's awesome on a sandwich, too.
Oh, it sounds it. I'm sure I've had it. I just didn't really know what the difference was. And thanks for the call and the compliments, Richie. I appreciate it. But, you know, this time of year, you get the boiled dinner at, like, an Irish pub. Eh, you can't go wrong. I don't know how people don't like that. Well, it doesn't taste like anything. Then what? Either that or your mom makes it, and she don't know what the hell she's doing in the kitchen. No offense to your mom, but it has flavor. It's not tasteless. That's the biggest misconception about the corned beef and the boiled dinner. It doesn't taste like anything. Well, your mom cooked it wrong. Period. End of story. Michael in Rosendale on NFL Free Agency. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Jim. One thing I can't stand is a lazy narrative. And it's not so much that I'm, you know, pro NFLPA and all that, but it's, you know, again, I called before about this. I go back to the Kraft Jeff Saturday makeout session when they closed the deal, the current deal, and everyone had to spend to the floor. And then that there was a floor and a ceiling and a cap. And now we're up to $188 million. And if you multiply that times 32, is that meeting the revenue numbers, and are the players getting paid to the floor? And I heard someone say, everybody's getting overpaid. Well, everybody can't be overpaid if the NFLPA is so weak and it was such a bad deal.
Thanks for the call, Michael. Not sure I really follow. I just simplify it as this. No matter what sport we're talking about, when you see guys and you look at a deal that they get, like, you know, it happens every single sport. Look at that guy, fill in the blank, got overpaid. The market dictates the value. And I'm always going to side with the players. I'm never going to damn a guy for getting that money, especially in the NFL, where one bad hit could have you eating the rest of your meals through a straw for the rest of your life. Get it while you can get it. Okay, with that, let's pause here. We have about 10 minutes to go or so before we lead into the Celtics pregame show. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, going to have you as the Celtics have a matinee game to celebrate St. Patrick's Day weekend. Doubleheader at the Garden. It's the Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks coming up at 12:30. So we'll try to squeeze in some more calls in the time we have remaining here in a Gasperless Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Gasper List, Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Happy St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Day weekend. Slatter to you and yours. A holiday that, believe it or not, I actually don't hate. I said it earlier. It's one of the marquee holidays that actually lives up to the hype. One I still love. St. Pat's, Thanksgiving, 4th of July. I was asked on Twitter, well, what about Cinco de Mayo then, Jim? It's fine. I don't put it on the same level as St. Patrick's Day. I certainly don't care about it anymore. Cinco de Mayo, to me, it's a young man's game. Too much tequila, too many margaritas. It makes people sloppy and crazy, if we're being honest, especially the women folk. So Cinco de Mayo, yeah. It's great if you're, like, looking to go out and take home a random floozy. Like, that's what Cinco de Mayo is. It's good for you. Again, it's a young man's game. But you're not going to get that kind of sloppiness, I feel like. The occasional fight, sure, with St. Patrick's Day, but that comes with the Irish, right? I can say that. I'm half Irish. Don't get offended. But Guinness, Jameson, it's not going to make you as nuts as all that tequila and the margaritas and the sugar, and then you have to eat all the chips. Like, it's fine, but I'm not going to, like, still make time to try to celebrate like I still will with St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is more of an even-keeled feel, I feel like. You know, in playing actually all this Irish music today in the one-hour show that doesn't suck, like the Dropkicks, who do suck. I was reminded, you know, almost totally forgot about this because now I'm 22 years into this goofy career. One of my first jobs in radio, in fact, my first on-air job at radio in radio was at, and they still exist, to my knowledge, 9:50 a.m. WROL, which was mostly like a Christian talk station, but on Sundays they have the Irish Hit Parade, and I still think that they do it. I don't know if they have a banner on a float or they have a float at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And they would play like great music and still do. Should I be talking about this? Because now I'm actually trying to essentially plug another station that has nothing to do with our company. Nice move, Jim. But either way, yeah, no, that's now like 22 years ago. But the rest of that job was so wacky because it was just like paid for infomercials and like anti-abortion stuff. And it was so freaky. And all I had to do was like pop the mic and say, that was, this is coming up next. Here's some kook talking about why God's going to get you if you don't obey. Ugh. Oh, I've come a long way, thankfully. That will do it. Thanks for joining the one-hour bonanza today. This Gasperless Gasper and Murray to Mike O'Brien. Thanks for hanging out. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Back at you.
And for Tracy Clements as well, producing the show. Coming up next, it's the Celtics and the Hawks. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell with the pregame tip-off a little after 12:30. The Celtics and Hawks as they got a doubleheader over at the Garden today. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Talk to you Monday on Felger and Maz at 2 p.m. Goodbye.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.